All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brendan Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Okay, ready?
No.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the podcast about the highs and lows of everything edible, spreadable, and pourable, starring your hosts, Bretton Scott.
And Bretton Scott Jr.
That's right. Zara Tangora, everybody.
Yay!
I'm Zara and you're Bretton. Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
Hey, so
hi.
Who do we got in the audience here? Sparkles.
And Whitman.
And Whitman. They are dedicated.
They're hardcore. They're our groupies.
Dedicated. Okay, I do apologize for the mess. Again,
it looks great in here.
Yeah, perfect.
It's not a mess.
It's freshly painted. Coffee.
You're doing coffee and tea.
Oolong.
Yeah.
And you've got some cinnamon. Nice lipstick.
Thank you. It's on the outside of the cup.
All right, listen, everybody. Welcome to episode 6. And this is a really exciting episode.
Yeah.
A little catching up to do.
Is that a pun on our last week's episode about ketchup?
You got me.
You're a silly girl.
All right. Now, listen. First of all, how was your week?
And interesting. I had two of my wisdom teeth pulled. So
that was last week.
Well, today's Wednesday. So, well...
Yeah, I guess I already
forgot.
It's
continued.
Your friends have forgotten and stopped feeling sorry for you.
Nobody really cares when you get your wisdom teeth except you. And my mom.
You don't have dry socket. That drama is over.
I don't have dry socket, no.
On Friday, you did.
I have wet, juicy sockets.
She has the wettest. Honey, if I've seen wet sockets, they are sitting across from me right now.
My sockets are like that scene from Call Me By Your Name with the peach.
Well, if you read the book.
Was it a plum in the book?
Mm. It was a peach, definitely, but it was a little bit more graphic.
Really?
Well, I guess not really. I mean, it was as graphic as it could get.
Anyway, that's what my sockets are like.
I just want you to know, okay, you know, like when you get a Chinese massage and they're like 60 minutes and then they start the timer, you're like, mm-hmm. Hurry.
Yeah.
But I swear they always cut. I think they do it at 57 because then it goes off and then
they keep going.
They keep going and they're like, oh.
Look, I'm giving you extra time.
Yeah. Extra time.
Hey,
yeah.
It works. And I'm who is it?
That's a collection.
A bill collector?
It's that same
Hello?
Collection.
Hello. You should just answer it and tell them they're on a podcast.
Hello? Yes, you are. You're on Life's a Banquet, the podcast about the highs and lows. Yes, this is a current
this
low.
This is a low.
Okay, so it's going into collections, which means... Oh, okay, so it's a roommate. So I won't be able to get a cell phone or a car for 7 years. No problem. I'll be 47. It's cool. Thank you. They said they're okay with that.
Wow, look at that. Amazing.
So what else?
So I don't have dry sockets. What else? Oh, I'm planning a wedding for mm-hmm. my cousin. Not for myself, of course.
Yes. I'm working that wedding, right?
You are, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My cousin's getting married, and we went to do a walkthrough at this beautiful venue called Aquaba in Stuyvesant Heights, around where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this like giant old mansion.
Yeah.
It is up and coming. But this place has been around forever. It's like the Royal Tenenbaum's house, kind of. You're going to love it. Yeah.
Does it have those pink rose walls? No.
No, but it has, I believe the walls are more of like a light, like a Dijon mustard. Okay. Like a Dijonaise.
Kind of like your shirt?
Yeah. I made this shirt from
well,
the wallpaper.
Well, it's a little bit more like honey mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is a little more honey mustard. But the place is cool. And one of the coolest features of it, I think I had mentioned this to you before, they have a radiator that has a bread warmer on top, which was
a radiatore pasta.
A radiator,
and they have a bread warmer on top?
Yeah, I guess it was a thing in the back in the day.
Back in the bread warmer days.
Yeah.
When people used to, number one, serve bread, yeah. Get bread at a restaurant, and right. Then also, like, just it should be warm.
Right. This is like an old historic home. So these people just liked warm bread. On the daily.
This reminds me of two restaurants I worked at in the 1990s. And they both both involve story of bread warmers.
Let's hear it.
Which is not the topic today. But it leads right up into it. So you want to hear about it?
Yes.
All right. It's actually not that great of a story. I worked at two restaurants that had bread warmers, and okay. I ate tons of bread and dipped it in dressing and gained 7 pounds. One was called Nadia's, and one was called, it was in Madison. It was called, I think it was called Paisano's or something.
Really?
And it was this, oh my God, it was a thing. I was a busboy, and I would carry those giant trays and lift them up, and I had no idea what I was doing. And they always said, oh, if you start up a busboy, in a couple months, you'll be a waiter and make twice as much money. My cousin worked there, got me the job, and I worked so hard, like, you know, fast. And I would be like, oh, look at this triple tray, and I'm carrying 3 times as many. Super competitive.
Yeah.
And I really was really good. I mean, like, those waiters were like, would tell me every Friday and Saturday, be like, oh my God, I love working with Brett. And I always...
That must have felt good.
Well, it did. And I was like, they are going to make me a waiter. So I found out this girl who sucked at busing, but was very cute and had really nice corkscrew curly hair. She told me, she said, oh, are you going to the meeting this Saturday? And I was like, what meeting? She said, it's like, it's a, what do you call it? A orientation for to be, how to be a waiter. And I'm like, I didn't get invited. And I went straight up to the manager and I said, hey, how come, I think her name is Mara. I said, how come Mara got invited to be a waiter? He's like, listen, you're really, really good at this. You're a natural. And he's like, I just think we really need you on the floor for a little bit longer. And he's like, you know, just keep going. And then as soon as another position opens up, we'll tell you. He kind of like just ignored. Yeah. And I know I was probably too short or weird.
You think it was the shortness? There's plenty of short waiters.
Oh, that's right. You know, they say
you're really
short
not
waiters.
That short. It's not like you're like, you know, under 5 feet. Not that there's anything
Whatever.
Wrong with that.
The moral of the story is
you're 5'8".
They had Caesar dressing, which was, I don't know what the flavor it was, but with warm baguettes. And you would just, they had it in the pitchers. Pitchers.
Ooh, a pitcher of Caesar. Oh,
and you would just pour it into like a mug and like. Each sip was 860 calories. But you didn't think about it back then.
Of course not.
It was the 90s.
Yeah.
You wash it down with a coffee, a beer, and a cigarette.
Exactly.
And
Nothing had as much calories in the 90s as it does now. I used to eat Totino's pizza rolls for breakfast with milk, like cereal.
Well, but then we had so much smoking and then it kind of balanced.
Exactly.
Smoking or not?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, a cigarette. I have one left. Oh, I'm going to smoke it. I don't care.
You should.
I'm going to smoke it. I don't care.
What is in an herbal cigarette even?
Well, I don't know. The place that I got it from, which I
Radical
should,
or
we're not going to do shout outs yet, but I will give a little pre-teaser.
Wet your palate.
Some of that juicy
ketchup. Wet your dry socket.
I'll give you some of that pre-ketchup clear liquid that falls out like we talked about last week. Oh, it happened to me last night. Yesterday I made a breakfast sandwich on that marble rye. And I was like, I want ketchup and mustard. It was really dry. I over-toasted it. I over-toasted it.
Oh, no.
I toasted it too much. Oh. And it just like went on the eggs and like dripped. And I was like, oh, I can't get rid of it. Yeah. I was like, oh, I was right.
Yeah, you got to shake that shit. So what's in the herbal cigarette, though, from Radical Herb Shop?
Radical Herb Shop in Brooklyn on Atlantic Avenue. If you live near there or if you don't, I recommend having a trip out there. It's absolutely wonderful. They do these single origin spices. They don't have everything, but what they do have is very perfect. And this is the best cumin you've ever had, the best king caraway. Didn't know. I only use king caraway.
What is king caraway?
Doesn't matter. It's called king caraway. Oh, yeah, and you better eat it.
That's true.
And toast it. And
toast
put it on
the caraway?
I love caraway.
I love it too. It's one
you
of my favorite.
You love caraway. That's,
yeah.
We share that common bond.
Yeah, we formed a friendship over our shared love of caraway. We have nothing else in common.
Nothing else. And it's really, so far, working out. I'm nervous that it's one day going to disintegrate and caraway will go extinct.
And we'll
realize like we actually aren't friends.
Yeah, we're like, oh yeah.
God, we really only used to eat rye bread with caraway and like talk about it all day.
Well, anyway, so the mystery of the herbal cigarette remains unknown. And we're,
sorry,
we,
I...
No, we shouldn't bother figuring it out.
The answer
What's
to your
the
question
difference?
Is they have a bunch of... They have probably four different kinds.
Yeah.
This woman in the woods makes them in Vermont or something.
That's
And
amazing.
I don't know what's in them.
Perfect.
But the one that I got was Sexy Time and then Deep Relaxation.
Ooh.
So I smoked them together.
So you smoked the Sexy Time, you got like really excited, and then you were like, I need to calm down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So listen.
Yes.
I was thinking, we're getting there. I never told you about Nadia's restaurant. It was owned by a crazy French Moroccan guy. They had the best bread warmer. These giant loaves of gorgeous, like, sourdough that were just warming and crusty. And guess what they served it with?
Do you want me to actually guess?
Yeah. French Moroccan place. The guy actually lived in France for a while. He was insane. He smoked 1,000 cigarettes per day.
Okay, give me, like, a small clue.
A small clue is it's something French that they served the bread with. I mean, I can't believe you don't know this. Okay. Going once, and the audience is just starting to tune out.
Escargot?
Close. Rillette. Chicken.
Oh.
Rillettes. Wow. They made, like...
They just, like, gave Rillette to you at the table?
We put them in those little glass, like, 90s ramekins, and we... You know, we had to make that was part of our waiter's side.
I would not have guessed chicken Rillette.
And we would just, like, sit there at the end of the night. This is after I worked at Paisano's. So now I went from this shitty place that wouldn't make me a waiter. I was like, well, screw you. I'll work at this place.
Dunking your fist in Caesar. Yeah.
I'll work at my first abusive restaurant owner's restaurant across the street, but I'll make way more money and take the abuse. And we would just dip that warm, crusty bread in those chicken. I think they were chicken liver Rillettes. I don't remember.
That sounds very good.
Doesn't matter. And now... Springs. Why, funny how this just comes, perhaps. Do you know what the word galus means?
No.
Okay, well.
Is it Latin?
I think it is Latin.
I do speak a little Latin.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mentioned to you recently.
You told me last week you can say something.
I can say I went to private school. Don't worry, I got a scholarship because I was super poor and lived in my grandparents' basement.
I went to an East Coast private school.
I went to a private school and learned to play lacrosse.
Sorry, last year she showed me her private school, which is very beautiful.
Beautiful. Eastwoods.
Eastwoods in Long Island. And you said I was in private school, but I slept in the basement.
I did.
You were like the poor kid.
I did. My mom and dad came back. Their business failed. They came back from Florida. We moved back in with my grandparents in their tiny house in Huntington Station, which is not a very nice part of Huntington, where my parents live now.
Was this the beginning of their...
It was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
My parents' relationship. And my mom lived upstairs. My dad...
Sorry, I couldn't resist the drama. I was like,
windowless basement.
I like want to get you to cry. I was like, was this really when you changed?
So this is when realized that you were unlovable.
This is what you're still going to therapy for, right? Okay, go ahead.
If you have therapy after this, are you going to talk about some of this stuff?
Go ahead. Just a thought.
Yeah, it is when I realized that I was kind of like a worthless person. No, I'm just kidding. So
sorry.
We lived in the, black hole.
And out of hypnosis.
So I did go to private school, but because we got a scholarship and it was called Eastwoods. Why was I talking about this?
Because we were talking about living in your grandparents' basement.
I know, but I said that I went to private school.
Something about...
Oh, because I learned Latin. Oh, thank God, brain. You didn't fail me.
I've told so many stories, I forgot.
I know. That was a deep tangent.
Whatever.
Deep
forward.
That was a deep tangent. So I went to private school. We had to learn Latin in the fourth grade. That's why I'm so brilliant now. Mm-hmm. And really beautiful.
It really did change your entire face structure.
Exactly. Mm. So I learned how to say, what is your name? And then it's quid est praenomen tibi.
Menomus, Bretonicus Scoticus.
That's right.
Wait, is that Greek?
No, and then you go, praenomen mihi est, is my name is.
Praenomen mihi est, Breton.
Bretonicus Scoticus.
Yeah, 1-4.
Yeah.
The fourth. That's Roman for the fourth.
Yeah.
Which is not Latin.
Well, it's good.
It's combined.
Now we both have proved to the world that we're brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Basically. As I was talking, galus is the word for chicken. Now, hold on. Oh, actually, don't hold on. Hold on for one more day when things are going your way. Yesterday when I was getting my haircut, very nice.
Thank
you. Nice release.
Thanks.
Yesterday I was getting my haircut and it was really long and Preston started with my sides.
Yeah.
And he made a bowl cut and I was like, oh my God, I want to look like China. Was her name China Phillips? Or what was the blonde hair?
I don't know.
Blonde haired woman.
The Phillips of Wilson Phillips. I don't know.
The blonde haired one in the video from Wilson Phillips. She had that beautiful blonde
bowl cut.
Oh, and she was on top of the mountain singing.
Yeah,
I was like, just keep it like this. He didn't. It was for a second. So this got me thinking. How about chickens? Now,
how about
first of all, What's this large tattoo on my left arm?
Well, it looks to me like a cock.
Okay. Well, it is a
it's beautiful.
It's a Chanticleer.
What's a Chanticleer?
Well, a Chanticleer is a chicken, but it is a French black cock. Oh. So it's just a little bit rounder, longer, smoother, a little bit browner.
Yeah, but a little thicker.
Yeah, yeah, a little thicker. Yeah. And anyway, so this Chanticleer reminded me of the story of the Chanticleer and the fox, which is why I got the tattoo, which is actually not why. I just thought it was cute.
I don't know the story, but you should tell chicken, me after.
I love chickens. And
it's a beautiful tattoo, by the way, if I may say
well,
so.
This, we'll get to that story later.
Cool.
So, and then I thought, you know, I was thinking of all the ways that chickens are tied into our lives. Now, I can tell you, I just know you. I was thinking about egging.
Oh, like egging someone's house?
Yeah, I mean, that's the...
Why would you think that I would know anything about egging? Do you feel like I was a problem child? Because you're right, I was.
Yeah, because you were angry from living in your...
I was angry from the basement.
We're getting somewhere.
I was angry from the basement, and that's why I turned to egging.
And everybody at private school made fun of you. They said, run, run, Zara, run,
run
Zara.
Back to your basement.
And the lambs called you, and they said... Run, Zara, and you ran to the basement.
I said, give me all the eggs. And give me all the eggs.
So egging is the worst because, okay, first of all, obviously, if you have an egg before, you throw an egg at somebody's house that you hate or some varsity basketball player that you don't like in high school that makes fun of you all the time. And so you think about killing him, but instead of killing him, you decide to egg his house.
I'm sorry. Have you had any experience with egging?
No, but I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I was more of a, I did something much worse. So that's episode 13. I mean, egging, it gets in the house. You can't get it off. It dries. It smells.
It's rude. And
it gives you salmonella if you lick it.
It's also so unfair because people like save up their whole life to like buy a home and then their kid just goes to high school and then other children ruin your house.
The paint job, it ruins
it's
the
terrible.
Paint job.
I've never egged anyone's
well, anyway,
house,
that's
by
how
the way.
That is just one of the ways chickens is tied up within our lives. But listen, everybody's got, you know, I'm just thinking like, who doesn't love a fried chicken sandwich? There's chicken tenders. There's what else is there?
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Chicken tikka masala.
Chicken tikka masala.
A roast chicken.
Yeah.
A brick chicken.
Brick chicken. There's Malabar chicken
India. Barbecued chicken.
There's General So's. Well, it got me thinking. Go ahead. No, you were going to ask me something.
No, that's it.
Oh, you were going to say chicken katsu.
Oh, I do love chicken katsu.
Yeah, very delicious.
Yeah, it's good.
And who doesn't like a microwave chicken breast? I mean...
I love like a boiled... You boil it first to get a like seal in the juice and then microwave it to finish cooking it.
My mom... In the 1980s, used to boil my sister. Boil. She would boil my sister.
I thought you were going to say she just boiled your sister.
Yeah,
because you're confessing something horrible.
Because in Wisconsin, which is where I'm from, she just would put this chicken in a bag or something, or a saran wrap, and stick it in the microwave for, you know, 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
And it would come out just this, like, oh, it looked
like gray.
Gray. It looked like a cadaver. And she would slice it up, and my sister Carly always loved it. And I thought it was kind of moist.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess you wrap it up so it sort of steams itself.
Sounds like you kind of liked it, too.
I mean, it's well, I do not. This thing could be off right now. Screw everything. Listen. So this is all from memory. These notes are actually from... some poetry I've written this morning. I am also a poet. You can check out my website. So this story sort of starts out with Duncan Hines.
Interesting.
Cool. I'll give you very little information because we don't have time for that because the clock is ticking. Psychoanalysis begins at 2 and I wouldn't want you to be late.
I can't be late.
No, because the basement is a major
roadblock. The basement's got to come out.
You got to go into the basement, open the dark door, girl, and you got to say... I'm not afraid of you anymore. That's what you're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So listen, it started with Duncan Hines. Now, a lot of you don't know this because you probably think, I know you do. Don't look at me like that. That Duncan Hines was known for his cake mixes, boxes of cake, right?
That's what I heard of him.
Cake, a cupcake, put it in the thing. You know, powdered hydrogenated oils. Yay.
Yeah.
Pioneered that. Fabulous. I mean, honestly, like as bad as it is, it's kind of smart.
It's really smart.
I'm sure he didn't do it. I think he just... Anyway, this guy started off as a businessman, Duncan Hines. And I'll tell you why I'm getting to, I'll get to the story, is that he wrote a book in 1935, and it was called Adventures in Good Eating. Now think about 1935. The automobile is just taking over in the United States.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Trains, goodbye. Government, screw with the train tracks. Like, and good, yeah, keep going with that. So the train, the trains, the automobiles, and people are starting to drive around. They're salespeople, and they are on the road, but there's no system, you know, right? So in France and in Europe, they have the Michelin Guide, which, of course, we've adopted here, and I don't trust. Sorry, I just don't trust it.
Interesting.
I don't trust the French. I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. No, I do. We
just lost about half our listeners.
Yeah, sorry.
Sparkles is French.
Je parle un peu de France. Okay. And I have French friends, and I've
you like
and
French
I have a French
fries.
And I have a French cock on my freaking arm. Okay. Yeah. So listen. So the,
so you're saying
this
that
man
he,
writes.
Okay.
Yeah, so he comes up with an American version of this guide.
Okay.
Duncan Hines.
Wow.
And he starts by writing, he's a traveling salesman, and he and his wife at the time say, listen, they started giving friends recommendations, and they said, oh, go here, you know, if you're in Nevada, if you're in Reno, go here, but if you're in Kansas, go here, you know, Chicago. I'm trying to get all the regional accents.
Yeah, no, you're
North
doing,
Dakota,
you're doing great.
Minnesota.
Those ones are all similar.
The South, Asheville, North Carolina, Kakalaki. So listen, that was awful. I'm working on it. I'm
yeah.
Working, whatever. Guess what? In 10 years, you'll say, look at, I saw him where he started. I kept bringing it up. Brent Scott, professional accent coach and trainer. So he writes the book. And by the way, today's lesson in life, and I'm helping myself through this, is about discovering or perhaps attaining success later in life.
Yeah.
So this is a good story. This guy, by the time Duncan Hines gets famous, well-known for what he does. He's close to 55, and he writes this book. Wow. And actually, the cake business comes even after that. So he starts writing this book, and guess who he reviews? Mm-hmm, exactly.
David Chang?
Well, yeah, David Chang. Yep, back in 1935, David Chang is a vampire. Yeah.
So I knew it.
There's a man, and born in 1890, and his name is Harlan David Sanders. Can you guess who I'm talking about?
Oh, my God. Is it the Colonel?
The Colonel.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. So, wait. So, Duncan Hines found
KFC? Yes. This is
KFC,
where this...
no, basically?
This is where the story begins.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Lay it on me.
But,
this is
yes,
cool.
Wonderful man, gentleman named 1890, born in Indiana, as Harlan Sanders.
Okay.
And he moved around a little bit, and he apparently had some jobs as a blacksmith. He was actually one of the people that cleaned ashes out, I think, of the coals from trains. Because think about different jobs, of like side jobs back then, like all these trains and ashes. Like,
yeah,
you've got to have a boy, like sweeping. Have you had a fireplace?
Yeah.
You know the catastrophe that happens after a winter.
Just a lot of ashes. Yeah.
Blacksmith helper, apparently this guy moves on, and he, at 17, around 17, he decides, after he's working as a railroad, he becomes a fireman.
Okay.
So he's in Tennessee somehow.
He's staying with the ash business in some way.
Yeah, fireman, then like, oops, just kidding, I'm not a fireman, because back then you didn't have to like go to school. You just were like, hey,
now I'm this, like, now I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, and I'm a lawyer. Then he sells life insurance, right?
Okay.
Apparently he got, talking about being, this is also a lesson about people that got fired. Who got fired? A lot. And he, guess why he got fired? For being a dick to his manager. Me.
Oh my God.
Raise your hand if you're a dick to your manager. Because you know you can do it better, faster, and cheaper. And they don't want, but you don't want the responsibility of working so much.
Yeah.
I get it. I've been there. I'm there. Okay. So then screw that. He gets fired.
He got the old
heat-ho. I'm going to be a salesman again. Like sell, sell, sell. We're all selling ourselves. I don't know what he's selling. But in 1920, now he's 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to open a ferry company because there was a little, he lived on some river, I think it was the Ohio River or something, and there was a ferry opportunity and he invested all his money.
Like one of those river boats where it was like, riverboat.
But I think it just brought people back and forth from one side.
Oh, you're just going from one side of the river. Not really a pleasure cruise, more of a highly functioning river ferry.
Something like that.
Going to work and
I don't
such.
Know if that's a I don't know if that's a Kentucky accent.
No, that's more of like a Georgia accent.
But it sounds really good.
Thank you.
And instant success. This guy's booming ferries left and right. Zoom, zoom. And he's like, listen, I cashed out. I'm 30. I'm 31, 32. This is amazing. He cashes out for, in today's dollars, around like $320,000.
Yeah.
So, more than $250,000.
All right.
Which is like a pretty good amount considering
sure.
a few years ago, you were a sweeping ashes.
Yeah, he was
out
like
of
an
it.
Ash boy.
Ash boy.
Ash boy. Hey,
ash
turn.
Boy, clean out the thing. There's so many ashes in here. We can't breathe. I don't know. Stupid Ash boy. Oh, get rid of our Ash boy. He is all lazy. He's kind of cute. Listen.
We need a new Ash
so
boy.
So he's like, cashes out on the thing and is like, I have a great idea. He's not Colonel Sanders yet, but he is Harland.
Mm.
And he's like, I'm a businessman. I'm thinking ahead of the game and I want to have an acetylene lamp business. Little does
I'm
he
sorry,
know.
What was that? An acetylene lamp?
Acetylene or something.
Oh, wow. What is that? Is it like a gas lamp?
Doesn't kind matter. Of? Something like
okay,
that.
Okay, perfect.
It has gases and chemicals. Nice. Little does he know that electricity is taking over. And there's another company that's like, oh, here's electric lamps. You can buy them in credits. So don't worry. Give us $10 now. You know, they were like the Netflix. Like, just share it. No problem.
And he was the little guy got swallowed up.
Money gone. Bye. Becomes a salesman again for I think, Michelin. 1924, loses his job. The company folds.
This fucking guy.
Then he decides to run a service station. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And because he's in North Corbin, Kentucky, he's back in Kentucky, and he's back then, they were like, oh, service stations, people are traveling. And that was when people wanted food while they were traveling. You couldn't just like go get a Lara bar. Right, like, oh, which Cliff Bar do you want? Like, can you know the cricket one? I heard like the cricket protein's really good. No. You went to a gas station, you're like, these are people that were home mamas and papas and home cooks and
right.
and probably drag queens, like, cool girl, I'm gonna make you some fried chicken.
Right.
And so I guess he starts making some fried chicken and it turns out he has a competitor. This is a really cool part of the story. He has a competitor named Matt Stewart. Now Matt Stewart is insane.
Girl.
Well, I don't know. Well, like he was his competitor and he's like, oh gosh, like we're in this small town and
They're both making fried chicken at service stations.
This is like what it sort of the story alluded to. And I guess he's killed somebody in the company, Matt Stewart.
Matt Stewart?
His competitor's like, oh, am I going to kill my shell coworker? Like, get out of here.
God.
Well, they find out about it. I guess he just killed a lot of people back then.
Typical Matt.
God, Matt Stewart. Right? Yeah. Matt, never trust a Matt.
Never.
Never trust a Stewart unless. Matt, Marta, Martha Stewart. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Have we uncovered a huge vampire?
Well, apparently the court
world
convicts him guilty of killing somebody and the guy basically disappears. Now, this makes me think, did Colonel Sanders at the time be like, yes, he killed somebody framed? This could be like the framing of.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The framing of Matt Stewart.
So this is exactly where Duncan Hines writes him up. Travels through and is like, I just had Kentucky Harlan David Sanders fried chicken.
Oh my God.
And, like, and it is delicious. Well, it puts him on the map. Right.
Wow, that's
this
cool.
is this is actually like that's his life changer, right? Destroyed by fire. Moves to Asheville, North Carolina. I know. Suddenly, just like that, the story ends.
The Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Cool. And I guess he opens a motel or something, and then it closes or something because the tourism was declining because of the war. Mm. And now, age 65. I don't even know. Like, I didn't go into the story. This isn't the detail.
It's fine.
Minutia, darling. But the 65, and he's apparently becomes an assistant cafeteria manager.
Really? Yeah. What happened to all the KFCs?
They close. No, because he hasn't started KFC.
Really? Even
he
at 65?
When he was at his cafe, he was starting to make fried chicken and was working on a secret recipe. I'm getting to this part. And he discovers that he can cook chicken in a pressure fryer, which gives it that crispy skin. And this was probably some salesman probably came to him and was like, try this fryer.
Try this old pressure fryer.
Like the McDonald's story where, what's his name? Ray Kroc goes and is like, sir, try this milkshake machine. He's like, just kidding. I'm going to take over your business and sell your name and kill you and sell for millions.
So much murder in the
early days
of the food business.
So now he's assistant cafeteria manager. I believe he's back in Kentucky and he's perfected his recipe. Like this KFC.
I wonder what it was like. Sorry to interrupt you, but like, I wonder what it was actually like back then. If it was, you know, because KFC now has made me
well, apparently
not so
back
great.
Then he was really proud of his mashed potatoes.
It was delicious.
He said his gravy was like liquid silk.
Oh.
Not the lubricant liquid silk.
Right.
Because everybody sees that. But
yeah,
the
actual liquid
like
silk.
Like melted silkworms yeah. that are pureed and made into a liquid.
Right, right.
That kind of liquid
like
silk.
You could just dip right into a bath of it.
Well, so he sells in 1952. Okay, how old is he at this? 1890. So this guy's like 65-ish, yeah. right? Sells it to this guy in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh my God. Everyone in our lives, hometown is being mm-hmm. represented in this story.
Salt Lake City, yeah.
Asheville isn't my hometown, but anyway.
So he sells his recipe and the guy opens it up apparently. And you can go in Salt Lake City and go to the first KFC, Kentucky
really?
Fried Chicken back then. And, you know, when he's in, what, 10 years later, he develops a slogan, finger licking good.
Oh, that's sexy.
It's disgusting.
It's got sex appeal, though, honestly, without trying. That's probably why.
I know.
Finger licking. Like finger.
Licking.
And licking.
Well, yeah.
And good. I don't know.
Did you watch
I feel like there's something to that.
Did you watch the what's his name? There was like a KFC knockoff and like, gay, I love, right? I'm Colonel Sanders. And John Goodman plays a character.
No.
Colonel Sanders.
Really?
And he's like at a gay
was party.
Was
that on
SNL? I love gay. It's like a, maybe like a Funny or Die thing.
Okay.
And he's like, I love gays. And like all the gays are like licking their fingers after the fried chicken. It made me think of the slogan. It's still popular today.
Yeah,
and
it's
just
good.
Keeps getting better. So like apparently now he sells his first thing and he's like, I'm going to franchise this thing because I'm a smart businessman. I've learned, I've made mistakes. And this is good. Like, why open a restaurant when I can sell the idea and then open a lot of restaurants and make, I mean, hello, right? This guy's thinking, like,
absolutely.
Why would I slave away? Like, oh, my train's clogged. Remember when we clogged on? Yeah.
Yes, I remember all.
One time, this is going to quick interjection. One time, Zara's drain clogged, and there was a main that broke, and we had to bucket out the most water ever. It was the most traumatic night of my restaurant history.
It was one of the most traumatic nights of my life. I was up on the roof of the building in a brutal rainstorm, plugging up holes with tinfoil because I thought that's where the leaks were
and
coming
from. And
then
Zara went outside. This is at Brucey on Cobble Hill, like on a Tuesday night, rainstorm.
Yeah.
And she goes.
It was a Saturday night.
Saturday. Oh my God.
So
at the end of the shift, it was
yeah.
horrible. It was like
horrible.
1 in the morning. We were just about to leave. And
it was the most water.
I mean, good thing that we
yeah.
did catch it.
The restaurant would have been destroyed.
It was horrendous. And Zara goes out and the firemen come and like, yeah, there's nothing we can do. I don't know. Like, you just got to wait it out. I'm like, figure it out. It's the
yeah.
plumbing thing. She goes out in the front and reaches into the sewer. Like, if it was there, he definitely would have chomped off her arm.
Oh, yeah.
She dragged her lady arm and it like goes all the way down. It's like... tries to pull out, like, as if you were going to find a hairball.
I don't know. What I thought I was going to find, like, a dead raccoon or something.
I was like,
God,
watching, I was like,
Timothy.
This woman is lost it.
Hey,
which
man.
Is true. Like, when you own a restaurant.
It's like when people get the strength to push a car off their kid.
Their
you're like, we'll do anything to save it.
I will pull out the world's largest hairball. Anyway, she didn't find it.
I didn't find
nothing
it.
Was
Mary
there.
Was the one who ended up saving everything with, like she fucking
texted
MacGyvered that
she
stuff.
She was like, hold on, let me text my dad.
She's like, I'm just going to slice a 2-liter bottle in half and
she's
somehow
like, slice a jelly bottle and, like, wrap it with foil, put a thing around it, and, like, play the harp, and it'll be done.
It
and
worked.
I was like, and it worked.
That was the most water I've ever seen.
I remember two visions from that, and we'll get back to the story, is that Pat, there was this guy, Pat, and he was,
oh,
was
yeah.
he Dominican?
No, he's just black, like, half black, half white.
No, he was just black.
No, he was
well, but he was like looked. Oh God,
he was half black and half white, so he had like a more caramel complexion. He did look like he could have been
like
Dominican.
Well, anyway, his muscles and his veins and his muscles
yeah,
were popping.
Amazing
out,
body,
popping out. He did smoke a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah,
this is a secret. And he was popping his veins. He was lifting that. It was the largest stock pot that any
yeah.
restaurant can have, like the kind that you have at. Giant hotels,
yeah,
like a bullion pot for like
it was a pot for a many many gallons
chill.
Of
you could
broth.
Put 14 babies in that pot.
Yeah,
baby pigs,
baby
pigs.
But yeah, he's amazing. It that was an incredible horrid night.
So listen,
oh,
this is what
I Colonel, gotta go.
This is
gotta go to therapy.
This
now.
Is what Colonel Sanders was avoiding.
Yeah,
he's like
f this.
He had like a vision. Was like saw
yeah.
us in the future and was like, no, let's just sell the idea. So he. He goes around the United States, sleeps on the back of his car, which we think sounds, oh my God, poor thing, slept. It's better than reaching in that sewer.
Absolutely.
Smart. He sells his company. He becomes very successful. And this is great because by age 74 now, late in life, when most people are like, I'm going to retire by 65, he's like, no. I'm just getting started. And he becomes like the television personality that he is. And he's in commercials. He perfects his look of the white hair, the white goatee, the little like bow string.
Yeah.
Like, bow tie made of string.
Yeah, a little fancy guy.
And he becomes, and he really was a colonel. I guess somehow because of he was on tourism, the tourism board, they made him a colonel. I don't know.
Okay.
Things were different in Kentucky back then.
He just said he was a colonel, then he was one.
Yeah. He just, yeah, that's like in the 1930s.
It's like I used to be an ash boy and God, now I'm so, a colonel. Now call me colonel.
Now they're like Google you, but like, he actually didn't go to colonel school unless you're the president.
The colonel school.
You can be president for sure.
Exactly.
You can just president school. I'm
say you're anything.
I was the president of BrentonScott.com.
And now I'm the president of, oh God, let's not talk about the president.
So I guess I was so fascinated. Okay. And do I love KFC, the fact that they exploited chickens and made this horrible factory farming thing? No, I would hope that if he was, he sold off his company, maybe he had he did it differently and promoted small. I don't know.
Things were really different then.
I don't know. I can't.
But he might have been a real motherfucker. We don't actually know about him personally.
Well, this is the end part of the story is that apparently he sells his company off and, you know, it's owned by a big conglomerate of the time. And he moved to Canada to help run some of the chains up there.
Okay.
And he was known for traveling around and then walking into random Kentucky Fried Chickens and tasting their gravy and be like, this gravy tastes like wallpaper paste. And he would like slam it on the ground and have a fit. He's like, I have to build up my secret room. And right? And these people are like,
mix the packet into the water. Amen.
Like, man after my own heart. Yeah. I was just thinking earlier how I used to do that when I had Brucey and I would come in to eat. And most of the time I'd have a really good meal and have a lot of fun. But sometimes if it was off, I would throw a fit and I would go into the kitchen in my going out clothes, you know, my nice clothes. And I'd be like, that's it. I'm going to do it myself. And I would just like work.
This is a knife. This is a knife.
Sorry.
I know.
Crocodile Dundee.
I don't know. It just made me think of like somebody being like,
I'll show you.
When my mom was... One time we were in a road trip in Colorado. My mom goes, we were all like six of us shoved into like a 1996 Crown Victoria, like on a hot Colorado day. And we're yelling and she goes, somebody goes, Mom, stop yelling. And she goes, oh, she's like, this isn't yelling. And she turns around and she goes, this is yelling! And she's,
oh my God, women.
She screamed and freaked out and it hit all of her children's solar plexuses and like we were like, oh. And
moms can be scary.
Oh
yeah, don't push a mom too
far. It was
far.
Like the demon.
Yeah,
like Kali mother, Om Kali. It'd be like, I will cut off your head.
Yeah,
and eat it.
Came right out. She's like, I can't stand this anymore. This is what I'm going to do about it.
And that's what mom did. And that's what mom did in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. Basement. You want to come to therapy with me?
Yeah,
basement. There's room for one more.
No, I just think it was really fascinating that this guy kept up and kept on and kept on. And I think about failure and like Zara and I both open and close restaurants. That's the theme of our lives. But like having something so like, I was my own boss and I'll tell you how it was one day. But like, hey, guess what? Didn't work out. What happened? How can I fix it next time? And maybe you want to open up something else. Maybe you don't. But like at the end of the day, you just like keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like...
It was a really inspiring
story. It's a really inspiring story. And I love hearing about people who don't quit, because there are certain times that are hard, like that I think we all find ourselves wanting to give up, and just not even like, oh, I just want to give up, but maybe that. And also just losing a bit of perspective that sometimes something doesn't work. There's a really bad time and then another time comes along. Because when you're in a bad time, it can feel like the end.
Forever.
Like it really can feel like forever, especially for someone who... And I think we share this in addition to our love of caraway seeds. We're both kind of impatient.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like knowing that it could take years for it.
Yeah. But then you look back and things actually kind of go quickly and there's a lot of good stuff in the middle. So I really like that story. I think that's really, really awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, as in whatever project you're doing, hopefully we can inspire you. And just to talk about like, oh, hey, that didn't work out. You know, this podcast is like this, but like this podcast is... Oh, you just wait till we're 82.
Exactly. We're going to finally, by the time we're 82, we're going to have really refined this.
This is number 6 out of one. Let's do 2,000 episodes.
Okay, fine.
Done. Perfect. Great. Let's be, I don't know. God, wait. Podcast. That means in a couple of years, people are going to be like, episode number 4,076.
Yeah. I was just listening to WTF the other day, and Mark Maron mentioned that he was recording like his 900th episode.
Yeah, that's what made me think of the, I was like, well, if he can do 900, so can I.
Absolutely.
That's an inspiring story.
It is an inspiring story. I wish that we somehow Marc Maron was a food so we could do a podcast about him, because his story is inspiring too. He also found success like a lot later in life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That podcast was the big thing for him. I mean, he went around, you know, not having a lot of great career as a comedian. And now look at him.
Well, and I don't know. So that brings us to our next.
So I guess I wanted to know, here on Life's Banquet, you know, we're a new podcast, so we're trying a couple different things. So Breton, I was wondering about, after hearing your story, your top five this week for your top five favorite, like either places to get fried chicken or favorite places that you've just had fried chicken that maybe are closed and no one can ever get it again.
Okay.
Top and then five. I'll tell you mine.
Okay, top five. Ready?
Yes.
Number one best fried chicken I ever had in my life, you're not going to believe this, was in Kerala in South India at a little roadside.
Whoa.
And the guy made, I know, fried chicken. Who would have thought? I was like, I'm in India. It was in the town called Tekkady. Okay. Tekkady is like it was one of the original spice towns. Like you can go and like pick cinnamon bark and bay leaves and all. It's really weird. Like you're like, here's a cardamom pod. Like, anyway, and what really smells like that when you get to the mountains, it's a Christian town because of the Christian missionaries back then from Portugal. So anyway, they had this, apparently is a thing, Malabar fried chicken. And somebody tried to go in Canada and have a chain called Malabar Fried Chicken.
Really?
And they do a really like yummy kind of I don't know if it's like paprika based spices, but something like that, like red powdered chilies. And then they put coconut chutney on top and finely chopped red onions.
That sounds so good.
Served it, so it's like chicken and biscuits, right? But it's parota bread. So the parota bread, if you've never had it, is like you take like a long kind of braid of bread and you roll it like a pinwheel, you know, so much you would like a scallion pancake kind of thing, and they pan fry the bread. So you get this like chewy, ewy, gooey fried parota bread with fried chicken with fresh, like the freshest coconut. And you know, like the chickens were walking around us when we were eating it. I was like, really good. You're next, buddy. You're next, Annabelle.
Yum.
And okay, so that's number one. Number two, I won't go on that long. I love the Commodore Fried Chicken. I think we might have a crossover tie there. Mm-hmm. Commodore Fried Chicken is beyond. Mm-hmm. And then that is in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. Great dive bar with great dive. It's the perfect dive bar with the perfect food.
It's the best.
It's the best. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Nailed it,
Commodore.
Number three, I would probably say, I know. It was that place called Krabby Jack's in New Orleans, which I just went to.
Yeah,
and I think I mentioned
me
before,
that.
But I'm going to say it again. Krabby Jack's in New Orleans. They also have a restaurant called Giacomo's. And I remember we were in Asheville and our waitress worked there. I said, I just got back from
that's so weird.
Yeah, I was in New Orleans and I had the best fried chicken. She goes, let me guess it was that Giacomo's, Krabby Jack's. I was like, how'd you know? She goes, And they poured more salsa into her.
And then they poured a salsa all over her head.
Number four was a place called Press 176 or something. It was on Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. That place that was like the panini place?
Yeah, he moved out into like the city field in the stadium.
I didn't know that.
And he had a buffalo blue cheese crystal hot sauce fried chicken sandwich.
That's perfect.
With like celery. And I think he did shave celery and carrots, I think.
Great.
And then fifth. And final, I know this sounds really cheap, but I like the chicken tenders from Westville.
I've never been there, but
it's
I
weird.
Love
they're
a
really
tender.
Good. They're just like a really good. I think it's like a panko breaded chicken tender.
Ooh
they're
la
just,
la!
They're delicious.
Yum!
And they're cheap. Okay, five.
My top five. I have to reveal. I'm not a huge fried chicken connoisseur. Like I love it, but it's not something that I eat that often. So. Mm-hmm. I guess my top fried chicken is, I love the fried chicken at the Commodore. The fried chicken at the Commodore is similar to the fried chicken at Pies and Thighs because it was an offshoot of that. And then that originally started with the Pies and Thighs that was in Mermaid Bar back in the day.
And it was also subbed at Roberta's.
Oh, right.
Remember that? She was there. I think she burned down. The woman burned it. No, I think her original location. I don't know.
The woman just burned.
I don't know what happened, but somehow they moved and
right,
blah, blah,
blah. Because when Roberta's first started, actually didn't have to wait to go in there when we were.
And you could get a plate of testa, a really nice salad, a pizza, and fried chicken. That was good.
I remember someone coming in. I used to work at this bar, and the manager of the bar came in and he goes,
yeah, there's this new real cool place in Bushwick. It's called Roberto's. Yeah, it's like just, you know, it's always empty, but it's really good. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll have to check that out. That makes me feel old. That was in the 1800s, back when Colonel Sanders was around.
Colonel Sanders was still sleeping in his... He slept on his car one time, I remember.
In the Roberto's parking lot.
Yeah. They went with that other one. They went with Pies and Thighs instead.
Yeah.
They're, you know what? They won.
Pies and Thighs is great. That so is I good. Love the fried chicken platter and the fried chicken sandwich at the Commodore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Both really, really delicious. When I was growing up, there was a chain called Pudgy's.
Pudgy's
skinless fried chicken. Okay. It's really delicious. And they used to have fried zucchini sticks that you dipped in ranch dressing, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. I love the fried chicken sandwich at Diner, even though they, you know, obviously change their menu a lot. They frequently have a fried chicken sandwich and they do it on a nice, like, soft brioche. And obviously, anything you get from like any of those Tarlo restaurants is always the best. Oh my God.
You're eating your own
Sorry. Arm. I love that. I love the smoked fried chicken at...
Smoked
fried chicken and the smoked fried chicken sandwich at Buxton
I'm like,
Hall.
Mom, I was like, you know, Brixton's.
Oh,
you're
Brixton
like, no, Mom,
Town.
It's Buxton. But like, yeah, Brixton's.
Buxton Hall.
Buxton
Barbecue.
Hall. You took me there. It was very
I
delicious.
Really like that place.
It was very... Oh, I love all the sauces they
the
have.
The sauce... The whole situation. Queens,
they had that little... Zara took me there, and they had that little side. Basically, a salad. They even have a spit shield over it of sauces. So you know there's no spit in the sauce.
There's no spit in the sauce
Nobody's
whatsoever.
Like, their nasty fingers. They have fresh ladles. Very clean.
Very, very good. And then my last place that I really love fried chicken from, I guess I would have to say this place You're probably like, isn't there anymore, but it's an old fave from childhood. It was called the Spare Rib. And typically I would get ribs, but they also did have fried chicken. It was a Long Island favorite. As a child, I remember being able to eat so much more. I remember I could eat like probably a rack and a half of ribs.
18-piece bucket.
Right.
A rack and a half.
So
I always got a full rack of ribs.
Me too.
When I was 12.
Yeah.
I was a little chunky.
I was a little chunky too.
We were.
Yeah. Now I could only eat one rib. I could only have one.
I have a glass
single
of wine,
rib,
four martinis, and one rib. And I'm
I have a pack
chuffed.
Of tissues, and I'm just kidding. I don't eat tissues anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I never eat tissues.
Okay, question. Oh wait, was that number five?
That was the fifth. Yeah. So
can I interrupt?
Yes, please. No, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to jump to our next segment. But
what's it called?
The chef recommends.
Well, does chef recommend panko? Or breading with their fried chicken.
Well, I don't like breadcrumbs.
I'm a vegan.
I'm vegan, so I don't care. I don't know.
Okay. I know you're on 21 days of complaint. Zara is doing 21 days of no complaining.
That's true.
I'm not. So let me...
Perfect. Go complain.
I don't like when, since you were saying chef recommends.
Yeah.
Chef recommends the blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. But when a waiter or bartender, and I can say this as a business owner and as a former waiter and bartender...
Yes.
And potentially a future one, for all I know, before I open the big whammy, is when you're asked for something like, "Oh, hey, what do you think of the fried chicken?"
Right.
I'm a vegan, so I don't eat fried chicken.
That's
you know
a big
what?
No, it's a big no.
Just tell me, skip the personal opinion, and just say, you know what? People love the fried chicken.
Absolutely.
In fact, if you're not sure, or just say like, you know what? I haven't had it, but a lot of people get it, and I'm gonna get my coworker to tell, or whatever, like anything but just saying I'm a vegan.
I don't like the I'm a vegan thing, but I also am not a fan of the I haven't had it. I would always tell people, all the servers.
I think just avoiding it altogether and just saying
it's great.
It is apps. People love it. I always said if you're not sure, people love it. Or do
right. Well, I mean, you want to think that the restaurant, it is a turnoff if you're working at a restaurant and you put any negative thought in someone's mind.
That is true.
But you also, if you are a server and you have an opinion of something, you don't want to lead someone in the wrong direction and they say, oh, what's better, the strawberry or the peanut butter? And you don't want to be like, well, oh, definitely the peanut butter, the strawberry isn't good. You just kind of want to be like a car salesman and say, I want to get you in the right fit. So find out more about the guest.
I've been on both sides. And sometimes as a cook, you're like, I don't know what the hell is going on, but my fried cheese curds are coming out booming. Like,
yeah,
just like all the factors were right. And the breadcrumbs were perfectly toasted. And hopefully your server's like, the cheese curds are really good tonight.
Absolutely.
Rather than just saying something's bad.
Yeah,
you're right. I think that's a better
A negative
direction.
Is no.
Keep it positive.
You don't want to say anything negative.
Keep it positive.
But I don't like, so I like panko breadcrumbs on like a katsu. But I don't like any breadcrumb on regular fried chicken. Not even really a fried chicken sandwich. I'm more of like a batter.
You would like the batter, like floured, craggy.
Correct. Yes, delicious. Craggy flowers.
And craggy can I flowers. Say, does Chef recommend Crystal or what's the other one? Not Louisiana or Louis.
Frank's.
Frank's or Crystal? What does the Chef recommend?
I like Crystal personally, but I also like, you know, Frank's.
As I've tried both now.
Tina. Well, just kidding.
Tina. Do you like Tina?
Tina or hot Frank? Sauce.
But I would say after a few times of trying both, and by a few times, I mean my whole life, I think Crystal's better.
Yeah.
It has that extra, like.
It's a little more vinegary.
Okay. So now if anybody wants, how does Chef recommend? What does the Chef recommend about making a hot sauce if they wanted to coat their fried chicken? What would Chef recommend?
The chef recommends that you mix hot sauce and butter together.
That's
and
the then, secret, folks.
Yeah, and if you want to make it a little sweet, you can put a pinch of honey in there.
Honey, some sugar. And so after you get that fried chicken out of the fryer.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry.
I know, we're starving.
I'm starving.
That's the secret to our podcast is we're actually anorexic.
Go out and eat all this fried chicken.
So listen, if you fry that chicken at home, vegans, go ahead and fry up some mushrooms. Actually, if you know a lot about mushrooms, those mushrooms have feelings, so you shouldn't be eating those either.
Yeah.
They're very smart.
You just shouldn't eat anything.
After that fried chicken comes out, when it's hot out of the fryer, you want to dip it in that butter, hot sauce, and that's what gives it that...
Brenton has dipped his foot in hot sauce and butter.
My arm is falling.
Okay, what about... I have a chef recommendation.
Yes, go ahead.
So one issue that I ran into when I first tried to make fried chicken was that I fried it in oil that was too hot. And I found that...
Chef recommends keeping the oil at lower than you would fry potatoes.
Like a french fry. Yeah, for sure.
So we're talking... I'm thinking in the 320-ish.
Yeah, well, even lower. I even like 300.
300. You're going to make sure that chicken is fully cooked, obviously, because you don't want to risk the... That nasty.
Actually even cook fried chicken lower. When we use the, you know, commercial fryer, I know it would be the same in a home fryer, but just because you can, you know what I mean?
You have more control over it. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than then you get this like burnt, crunchy thing on the outside.
You just have to be very careful that you don't want the breading too greasy.
That's true. It's a fine line.
Yeah. Gotta play with your fryer.
Of course. I mean, obviously, if you're frying a chicken breast cutlet for a sandwich, you can turn your fryer up higher. But if you're doing on the bone chicken breast, like it's hard.
And when we get the website up, we'll give you both of our recommendations for our techniques for both panko and fried chicken. And
yeah.
I've made both recently, and I will say I do love that panko stuff. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
I love panko too.
I feel like it's lighter.
It's great. I think on a cutlet, it's perfect.
But let me tell you, when I got that chicken at Krabby Jack's in Louisiana, what are the chicken fried chicken skin called?
Chitlins? Gourbeans?
Gourbeans.
Yeah.
Gourbeans. It's like that. Oh my God.
Delicious.
It's better. It's as I good think as it it's gets. Better than chitlins, in my opinion.
Agreed. So I had one more thing I wanted to ask you about fried chicken. Oh, of course. Duh. What is your favorite fried chicken dipping sauce?
Blue cheese. Yum. Come on. But I like blue cheese together with a hot sauce.
I do too. I am a big, well, back in the day when I was, you know, cramming McNuggets packing my mouth full of McNuggets.
Hot sauce, honey mustard.
I like the honey mustard. I also loved the sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, sorry, sweet and sour barbecue or honey mustard. That was what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I liked honey and ketchup together. I loved that. I still do.
Oh my God,
do.
Honey and ketchup.
I'm a condiment
whore. Honey and Tabasco together is good. We are hungry.
I'm starving. I think that fried chicken is a really interesting and fascinating topic. We've only just scratched the surface of it, really. But your story was really cool.
I actually forgot to tell you about... I was going to tell you about the history of chickens altogether.
Oh my God.
But when you think about it, they actually apparently came from a bird. By the way, I raised chickens. Wow. I raised chickens. I had 18 of them, and my brother still has some of them. One of my favorite pets ever is Annabelle. She's still alive. Aww. I'm going to post a picture of her, and I love her. My pseudo brother's girlfriend, she takes care of Anna. God, she treats like her own child. It's wonderful.
So cute.
But yeah, so I guess I would say they apparently came from some exotic Thai bird.
Really?
Or Southeast Asia or something, or in China. Like, huh. They say maybe India. There was all these 7,000 BC. So these things are...
I feel bad that they can't fly.
It's terrible.
It's sad. It's
they
like,
were saying, I was reading this thing about if Bill Gates were to invest in anything, if he had a few bucks.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do? Like, would you buy like stock or a newspaper? I don't know why I said newspaper, but perhaps.
Get into the newspaper business. Yeah. It's on the up and up.
A couple chickens because then they would lay eggs. You could sell the eggs. They'd breed more chickens and then you could exponentially grow.
Yeah.
And sell your food. You could make food. You could have a restaurant. Like,
There's a lot you can do with a single chicken.
So they really sustained humanity for many years.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know where to go.
And now we treat them so poorly and just smash them all in together and fill them full of antibiotics.
After I had my own chickens, it really, I don't know, I would wake up in the morning and they made me so happy. And I thought, okay, well, I guess I wouldn't feel bad. They are kind of dinosaur-like. And
yeah, I'd have no qualms about eating them, but I just, obviously the factory farming is bad on so many levels, but that's a whole nother
episode. It just makes me think of that. Yeah, it makes me think of the Portlandia episode with Colin the chicken.
Oh, my God. That is a really funny episode.
I don't know. Maybe we don't need to be eating that much fried. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about fried. Oh, wait.
Let's delete this whole episode. No, we can't delete it. It was too funny.
Wait, deleting the whole episode?
Let's just stop doing the podcast.
Perfect. It's over.
Wait, so let's talk about our shout outs for this week of places that we liked and things that we liked and people who we want to succeed in the world.
I'll say it again.
Say it one more time.
Again. Okay, yeah. Radical Herb Shop. Yeah. Atlantic Avenue, Commodore. We've already said that.
Yeah, amazing. The Commodore is the best. Their nachos are life-changing. And mm-hmm. I mean that in a real way because they've actually changed my life. And the way I think about food and bar food and fun food, it actually had a very significant influence.
Like, I don't even think I need to go to therapy anymore.
Yeah, I'm fine. Let's just go get some nachos.
Yeah.
I want to shout out Frankie's.
Oh, yeah, you just went there.
Always good. Honestly, it's just solid and it's so nice. And you walk in there and it's steaming hot all the time and it just smells
like... Isn't my friend Danny Amen the chef there?
I don't know.
He said he was last time I talked to him. Doesn't matter.
I just really like there. It's just always dependable. Their gnocchi are fluffy and pillowy. The room is warm. The servers are nice. It's just a really perfect restaurant. I love it. It's not...
What else could you ask for?
It's so great.
Good food, good service.
Good food, good wine, good service. It's just like...
Nice shoes.
You know, I think we kind of run around trying to be really impressed by things. I do the same thing. Like, oh my God, this was amazing and that was amazing. It's one of those places you can walk in and you're just like, this is nice, delicious food. I'm not expecting too much. And I don't mean that as an insult to them at all. It's just simple.
Simple is good. Simple is the new complex.
Simple wimple.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to give a little shout out. I don't know if I said this on the last episode. I don't think I did.
Go ahead.
But if I did, I'm going to tell us again.
I'm going to hear it.
Right back out there.
I'm going to hear it. I heard it.
Gary Shandling, two-part documentary on HBO.
Yes.
It was really
called
good.
Called The Zen of Gary Shandling.
The Zen Diaries.
Zen Diaries. I have not. I'm going to watch it.
It was very inspiring.
I was going to tell Preston to watch it. And he's like, I don't know if I want to watch it. I said, well, just start watching it.
It's really amazing. And you want to talk, if you know, this podcast is about.
You were going to say if I want to talk about it.
If you want to talk about the highs and lows of things. It was very inspiring just in terms of someone being a master of their craft and it being a struggle.
Yeah.
And then he ended his life and having this incredible legacy and impact on people. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. He was my first comedian that I felt. That's when I realized I loved comedy. I was so young and he had that HBO show.
He was amazing. The Larry Sanders show.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I wanted to just end this story with the story of the Chanticleer and the Fox.
Please.
Because this is a story, a Geoffrey Chaucer story, which may have been borrowed or stolen from the Aesop's Fables. But so the Chanticleer, mm-hmm. right? He's the chicken. He's the French black cock that has three wives. Well, roosters, mm-hmm. if you meet them, often have a lot of...
Womanizers.
Yeah. And let's not even get started on pecking order. Put a bunch of hens on the thing. You wouldn't believe. They click and they clack and they're... walk on a love. No, listen. So apparently he has a dream and I've been having a lot of dreams lately.
Really? Yeah, when you sleep?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, sorry, I have a lot of dreams about visions. Like, oh, don't do this. Right. Anyway, so he has a vision that this the fox comes and lures him away. And he tells us, he wakes up and he's like, I had a dream. And like, don't worry about it. He's like, it's just a dream. Well, lo and behold, the fox shows up. And he goes up to him and is like, oh, Chanticleer, your tail is so wonderful and black and feathery. And oh, would you show me your tail? Just come close from out of the cage. And he comes out of the coop and the fox grabs him. It's like, you dummy. And the Chanticleer is like, I was fooled, but you liked my tail. And he's like, you dummy, you really believe me? You believe me, you idiot? So listen, so the fox starts running and the Chanticleer is like, Oh, you better not look behind you. You better not look behind you, Fox, because behind you is the farmer and his assistant, and they have guns, and they're going to shoot you. You better talk to them and blah, blah, blah. And so the fox is like, I don't believe you. He's like, look now. And he looks back, and they actually were chasing them. But he lets go of the Chanticleer, and the Chanticleer flaps his little feathers just enough to get up to a branch. He's like, you believe me? Like, you idiot. So... don't, girl. The moral of the story is don't use your word against mine. I'll taste your own medicine.
Yeah.
No, but basically, stand by your word.
Yeah.
And all will be fine.
That's an amazing story. I love it.
So go ahead, fry yourself some chicken.
Fry up some chicken.
Support your local chicken farms.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to say a couple of things just about places where I like to buy chicken from. Marlon Daughters.
Very good.
Paisanos.
Provisions right here.
Provisions.
Yep.
Meat Hook.
The farmer's market. Seriously, you really should try. I know it's more expensive, but...
yeah, just factor it into...
yeah.
This is said with a grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah.
Factor it into your budget if you can. If you can't and you're someone and you and your family cannot factor this into your lives, your budget,
yeah, yeah,
then don't do what we're saying. Not everyone can do this, but if you can...
try to do our best.
Try to buy your chickens and all your meat and vegetables and everything...
ultimately,
we're trying to save the planet here.
Yeah,
and our bodies.
Ultimately, be the government that says, "Hey, listen, we shouldn't be treating animals like this."
Yeah,
and then we won't, as a consumer, have to choose or feel like we're not poor. Like,
yeah,
it should be the producer's job to give us good products.
Absolutely,
we are getting really political.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, let's go get some bread and throw it on your radiator and dip it.
Let's go to Chinatown and get cheap chicken.
Okay, awesome. Right. Here we go. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star, award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.